Hi, this is Sean Cassidy, and you are listening to the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
There's a generation of kids all of a sudden showing up with 64 crayons when the list didn't say that, and Trapper Keepers when the list didn't say that.
And so I'm like, here, take the 64. He's like, I don't need 64. I'm like, yes, take it. Take the 64.
Yeah, my kids would be like, it doesn't say 64. Right. Mom, look, I have to follow the rules. No, this is what you need.
Hello world, it's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the Big Wheel generation who know how to write f***ing cursive. And yes, it is faster.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving the glorious back-to-school shopping experiences of our Gen X childhoods. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
That's all you're taking to class?
Everything I need's in my new Trapper portfolio.
Trapper?
Traps in all my papers. The pocket's this way, so I close the Trapper, the papers stay trapped in. One Trapper for each subject.
Where do you keep them?
In the Trapper Keeper.
Trapper and Trapper Keeper, only from Mead.
All right, Gen Xers, let's take a nostalgic trip back to that golden age of parachute pants, Fair Isle sweaters, and neon everything. Remember the thrill of back-to-school shopping? Sure, we didn't have the internet, right, to compare prices or endless TikTok trends to follow, but we did have 17 Magazine. And really, you guys, what more did we need, mm-hmm. right?
Nothing. Yeah,
oh my
that's
gosh.
It.
The Bible. Remember that sweet agony of picking out the perfect lunchbox? Would it be the Holly Hobby or Welcome Back Cotter, Elf, or Pac-Man? Today, we're going to time travel back to the days of Trapper Keepers, Scented Erasers, Big Chief Tablets, and Bic Banana Pens. For Gen Xers, back-to-school shopping was a lot more than just restocking supplies. It really, you guys, was a rite of passage into a world of personal expression.
Mm-hmm.
We were granted a degree of autonomy, right? And this is maybe our first step into autonomy and getting to select stuff. Our stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our gear.
Mm-hmm.
With each pencil case, binder, lunchbox, we were curating a mini identity. The thrill of picking out a neon green Lisa Frank folder or a box of crayons was intoxicating. It was really our first taste of consumerism, a chance to experiment with style and create a unique persona. Though shopping trips were a pivotal moment in our journey to independence, we began to shape our own world, one school supply at a time.
Amen.
It was like Christmas. How is it not like Christmas? Except we got to pick out all the stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just the thrill and the anticipation of that trip mm-hmm. where well, I can still feel it.
And didn't you guys hate when that got taken away from you a little bit because maybe the list said
yes.
you need six folders, two red, two green,
yes.
and two blue.
Right. Right.
And I would be like, the what you say?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Mm-hmm. I want this Critter Sitters folder. You know, like, I don't want this. I want this. And I remember even school supply shopping with my own kids was just as thrilling for me. And I would feel the same way when they would come back with all these, you know, My Little Pony folders or Star Wars folders. And I would mm-hmm. go, all right, you can get them, but I don't know if you're going to use them because right here you're supposed to have two green, two red. Two blue. Also, think school supply shopping for me. It's an olfactory experience too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Can't
yes.
you just
we heard that in our comments. Yeah.
And
yes.
just different than normally mm-hmm. walking down that aisle at, you know, Target or wherever you got your school supplies. It's when they're all in one spot like they are.
Right. Oh,
it just,
yes.
it takes on a smell.
And
it does.
I think you're onto something with the more restrictive nature of our kids' lists, because for Liam, this was not a fun experience at all. In fact, I remember the day when he told me, I could just go do it.
No.
Like, he wasn't even going to come with me. And I, of course, am like, oh, please let mama do it. But
you
I
come back with cute erasers and like pom-pom ball zipper bags.
But I think to your point, his list was so restrictive that there was no fun in it. It was simply a chore. And it wasn't a place for identity making like it was for us. It wasn't Christmas like it was for us. When we were young, the kind of school supplies that we needed were representative of the kinds of activities we liked, like coloring and drawing and creating and making stuff, right? And when we were older, it often represented a fresh start. Like, this time, I'm going to be organized.
Yes, I know, right? Yes.
Forget about that shit show last year when all my papers were like stuffed in the back of my notebook. It's time. This like, it's a new me. And I'm going to kick ass this year.
You grew up and your school supplies grew up right along with you.
Yeah.
You guys, I remember a time my older daughter, all caps bolded on the list, said no Trapper Keepers. And
what?
I was like, and she didn't even know what one was yet because she had been in, you know, first, second, third grade. And I was like, what? Like, not even as if I was excited for her to have one or she would have chosen one. Just the fact that they were saying no Trapper Keepers made me want to like put her in private school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm pulling you out of this school, sister.
Call the principal. I need to have a meeting.
Meeting with the teacher. Our kids were probably like the first generation of kids that were going to bring Trapper Keepers. Like that was our thing. So it was so exciting when our kids could get a Trapper Keeper. They might not have really cared as much that it was a Trapper Keeper, but by golly.
No, they didn't care.
And so these teachers exactly were like, almost to the parents, like, no Trapper Keepers. Like, sorry, that was the 80s. Good for you, but that doesn't
this
fit
is not
our
a nostalgia
now.
Trip for
That's
you,
right.
parents.
This isn't about
it's not
you.
About you. It's about
also,
your child.
Give me one good reason. What's wrong with the Trapper Keeper? It's fantastic.
Nothing falls out.
No, it's such a great organizational tool.
It's such a gift to seventh grade boys. Like, nothing's falling on the ground. Do you remember when the Trapper Keeper came out? Maybe that's why it's beloved by us, because we remember the day when you're like, you can close it.
What? There's Velcro.
Velcro?
And there's folders that fit in it that are really cool.
Yes.
Those were not as dangerous as the other kind of three-ring binders. Do you all remember the metal ones that once you got to that point, if your finger got in there?
Oh, I can feel it.
Oh, my gosh. It was awful. It was so painful. Like, you could leave skin in there. And so I would try to be really close and then, like, lift my hand back really fast so it would just snap closed. And
yeah, can't you remember that awful anticipation?
Yes.
Like, I'm doing it right now, listeners. Yes. Like, you'd be squeezing it, but you'd be, like, eyes closed, turning away. Like, because you just knew once it caught, it was just
Yeah, exactly. It was dangerous.
I remember asking, like, being like, Mom, like, I'm holding it, Mom, I'm not doing it. I'm going to make my mom do it.
I know. That was so you didn't have to worry about that with the Trapper Keeper because it was plastic. It didn't hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for school supplies, for me, it was 100% Target. And y'all, not just any Target. Not just any Target.
No.
We're talking about the OG Target. What our friend Jen calls T1, which is the first Target in the nation in Roseville, Minnesota.
That is
in
pretty amazing.
The world. T1 is where we got my school supplies. And I don't think we had the whole back of the store transformed into back to school land. I think you just went to the office supplies aisle and cleaned up. And here's something that I recalled when I looked at a picture of me on the first day of school in third grade, or maybe it was fourth grade, with all the neighborhood kids standing there. There was no backpack. We didn't have backpacks. And it's because we didn't have homework. We didn't. But we didn't have all of the stuff. We didn't have all of the homework. So we didn't require a bag until you got to maybe junior high or high school. And then no backpacks. Nerds carried backpacks. Or you had like a book bag or a school sanctioned bag, like the school printed bag or something like that. Something cool, a Mary Mecco bag. And one thing I heard from so many listeners, just because I think this is a universal experience, every year in that office supplies aisle, I begged for that 64-pack with the sharpener in the back.
Yes.
I begged. Why? Why? But no. Like, I was lucky if my mom would go for the 48. but no 64. Why, Mom? Why? And I don't think it's cost. I really don't. I think it was more a values thing, like a principles thing. Like, who do you think you are, Missy? Right? Like, you don't, you're not going to get the top of the line. You don't, you think you deserve 64 different colors and a sharpener? You will do just fine with 48 and you'll be happy about it too.
I think we need to get Linda on the line. I think you may be painting a sad picture.
You know what my mom would say? I know exactly what she would say.
What would she say?
I bought you the 64. Of course I did. I bought you the 64. But no, she didn't. Do you know why? Because I remember very specifically in second grade, I got the 64 pack of crayons as a birthday gift from my brother.
I mean, that's a great gift.
Yes, that's a good gift. So I think they saw the 64 pack as like, that's gift level. That's not something you get. It's very special. Yes.
Speaking of those restrictive lists, I can remember taking my daughters back to school shopping. And I think I remember this for myself as well when it would specifically say 24 pack of crayons, nothing bigger, nothing small. 24
I get
pack
that.
Of crayons.
I get, I understand that.
I would have been the mom though that was buying my kids the 64.
Well, don't you think again? Our kids, like we are buying these things for our kids that our parents wouldn't buy for us.
Yes.
So there's a generation of kids all of a sudden showing up with 64 crayons when the list didn't say that, and Trapper Keepers when the list didn't say that.
And so I'm like, here, take the 64. He's like, I don't need 64. I'm like, yes, take it. Take the 64.
Yeah, my kids would be like, it doesn't say 64, but look, I have to follow the rules. No, this is what you need. Oh, our poor children.
Did you guys get the little cardboard pencil box?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I loved it.
I love
it. I love it.
Mine was, I think it was yellow with like some funky school theme designs on it. It was not branded, but it was adorable. And I remember packing it with like my new crayons, the 48 pack, of course, and my number two pencils and my pink erasers and my own personal scissors. No more rounded kindergarten scissors, bitches. Like, this is real scissors, my own. In my little cardboard box with like psychedelic flowers on it.
Yes.
There's a reel that we've posted probably for the past couple of years on Back to School Week, but I'm going to post it again because it's so great. And it's all these old supplies. But Kristen, I feel like it almost, the yellow one, doesn't it have like an apple? Isn't it more like school stuff?
Yes. Yeah. There's
it's like a ruler.
There's like a little
and an apple and a school house. And I loved it. And can't you just hear the little sound it made when you would drop the lid?
Yes.
It would just kind of close.
Yes, it's just like...
Can we just talk about those for a minute? Because again, like you were just talking about, Kristen, putting the things in there and making sure they'd all fit. Like I would dump it out and then I'd do it again. Like I couldn't, you know, we couldn't use our school supplies yet, but boy, I could sure put them in my box and see like, oh, I think the scissors will go here right next to the crayons. And oh my gosh. And then there were always the few kids that had the actual cigar box, like the one that was like
really?
Branded. Oh yeah. Like with a cigar brand on there. And I couldn't figure out like, was that sad?
Oh.
Or was that like, did their dad like smoke cigars? And then he's like, here, take my box. Or I think a few followers mentioned that they used the OG like cigar box. That
the actual
when
cigar
they,
box.
Yeah. When they opened it, it
I can picture
still
it,
smelled like
oh,
cigar.
Yeah.
Like there was a cigar scent.
It smells like a grandpa.
Do you remember when you got to maybe fifth grade or sixth grade and on your school supply list was a compass and a protractor?
Yes,
and when
I was
talking about the compass, it's like the little metal one with the pokey thing that's going to kill someone.
You're going to put someone's eye out.
Before you knew how to use it, but you got it home, you would try to figure out how to put those little flaps up and down so that tiny pencil
can reach the paper.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would just fall through if you didn't clamp it. But I would put those at the bottom of my pencil box, right? And everything's on top of it. Your little box of crayons, because you don't get the big one, your pink eraser, whatever. And then in about February, when the teacher finally says one day, okay, everyone, get out your math books. And today, we're going to start using your protractor or your compass.
And you're like, the what?
You were like thrilled. You were like, this has been underneath everything for 4 months. Finally. And you got to learn how to use the compass and the protractor.
Well, and the protractor in particular, because the protractor, if you remember, is like, it's like a ruler with a hump over it, like arched. Mm-hmm. And all I could figure out was that was for drawing rainbows.
Always.
Of course.
Like what on earth could this be for? You can't measure anything. It's not straight. Oh, it's for drawing rainbows. I get it. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we had so many comments from our listeners on our social media post about this, and we're going to bring these comments to you throughout the episode. Just know that this is just the tiniest smattering of what people had to say. So Maria Shaw says, out of all the school supplies I loved, my seventh grade trapper keeper reigns supreme. It was the solid royal blue one, not a cutesy one, since I was trying to achieve preppy slash classy status. Erin Gillette says, when I was older, this is so great. You're all going to identify with this. When I was older, I remember transitioning from wide rule to college rule notebook paper.
Oh, my God. That was a banner of year.
Yes.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. I loved that year. And then anytime after that, it was like anytime you saw wide ruled after college rules, like, that's for babies.
Oh, yes. Stupid babies.
I actually just recently, I love school supply time now, even as an adult with kids who are so far past needing school supplies. I always go shop and get the other day at Target, I got some cute pencils. I don't use pencils. I also got some cute stickers, but I am like a moth to a flame with composition books, you guys.
Oh my God.
And especially the good ones. And I bought one that has the cutest cover and I got it home. I use them for journals. It is freaking wide ruled. But even now at age 55, I opened it and I was like, wide ruled.
I am too good for this.
Stupid wide ruled. I'm a grown up, grown ass adult now. I can write Pioneer.
Okay. Karen Lean says, she's with me. Karen Lean is with me. She says, I definitely remember going to Target. Karen, do you live in Minnesota? And picking out folders. I had a Debbie Gibson one that I loved. Yes.
Oh my God, I love that, Karen.
Okay, can we talk about folders for a minute? Because I found some folders. Yeah. And you know that transition you talked about, Michelle? Like, here's my first one. My first one is, we have Star Wars. Oh,
nice.
I'm thinking
is an OG one?
This is an OG. Yeah. This is my OG Star Wars folder. So this is Prime 1977 here. I'm guessing this is fourth grade. And I'm just it's got C-3PO and R2-D2 on it. Those are my favorites. Then as we get a little bit older, in sixth grade, I remember Garfield was a really big deal.
Yes.
Garfield, he's got some balloons. He says, stick with me, kid, and we'll go places. But he sounds like Carlton, your doorman. And then look at seventh grade, you guys. Look at how grown up I am. It's a sunset.
Oh, wait, but it's not just sunset. Any sunset, guys. Yes. It's not like, it's like a sunset over, is that an island or a mountain maybe?
I think those are pine trees.
Mm-hmm. So, it's like a silhouette, guys, of just the pine trees.
The Pacific Northwest somewhere.
Very Pacific Northwest. I'm grown up now. Yes. And then I even have some notebooks that I found. Is that a little critter?
Critter Sitters. Yeah, that's Critter Sitters for sure. That's the koala, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. It says world's greatest. I've got some stickers on here too. I've got the seal of approval. There's one that says, wow. So that's fun. But this is my favorite one.
Oh my God. I'm going to describe what I'm seeing. It's a spiral notebook. It's purple. We've got the Pink Panther, but the Pink Panther has just his hair. He's blow dried it because we know he's blow dried it with a hair dryer because he's got like a tool belt with a giant hair dryer. And we know it to be a hair dryer because it actually says hair dryer.
Hair dryer.
And his hair has turned into basically like a cotton ball on his head.
It's like it's a pink afro on the Pink Panther. He's adorable. The notebooks and the folders were part of that identity process, right? Like you were telling the world who you were by what was on your folders and your notebooks.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, those represent who I would think Kristen would have been, you know, back then.
If you
just put a bunch of folders and notebooks on the floor and you said, pick what Kristen would have had in, you know, fourth grade, what she would have had in seventh grade, I think I would have scored 100. I would have gotten most of them, if not all of them, correct.
Well, my memories of school supply shopping really start in fifth grade when I lived in Washington, and we would go to a store called Fred Meyer, and Fred Meyer was kind of like a big, like a Walmart type place, big grocery store, but also, you know, all the stuff. There was also, for those of you who live in the Pacific Northwest and have for years, there was this, like bookstore slash stationery store called J.K. Gill that was really, it was actually founded in Portland. We had one of those in the Vancouver Mall, the Van Mall. I think between Fred Meyer and J.K. Gill is probably where we got all our school supplies. But like I said earlier, for me, fifth, sixth grade, Critter Sitters were huge. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it out, but I still have my folder. You guys will remember this one. It's the fox and it says Foxy.
Oh, I had that one too.
It says Foxy.
Yeah. And I loved all the Critter Sitters so much. For me, and I know this is a regional thing, and I know that there's probably, you know, half of you listening that'll go, yes, and half of you that'll say, no idea what you're talking about. But our folders, it was the Peachy folder, P-E-E-C-H-E-E, and it was this kind of mustard yellow folder, and it had, like, line drawings of all these different sports, like, that was kind of in triangles, and it might be a football player running, or then there was the girl playing tennis, and
super retro, very retro.
Yeah, they weren't cutesy by any means, but it's what you got. And they were like the dirt cheap ones. Like when you got the Peachy, they were like, you know, 5 cents a piece. Just side note, you guys go on Etsy, go on anywhere and Google Peachy. You can get t-shirts that look like the Peachy folder. You can get mugs.
It's iconic.
Cups.
It's truly iconic. Yeah. And what's funny is that the Peachy was not a thing for us, but my parents were so nostalgic about the Peachy folder. And I remember them just like gushing about it and looking for Peachy folders for me. And I was like, that looks like something from the 1950s. Why would I have that? And because I wasn't surrounded by it, it just looked, it was like something that my parents had. So I didn't want it. It was like you not liking Neil Diamond.
Well, maybe it was their Trapper Keeper.
Yes, like I think
they,
so.
They were so nostalgic for the Peachy folder.
Yes.
Our Peachies, we would cut out magazines and stuff. So I have like a sticker that says Barf Me Out. at the top, do you guys see? I just cut people's legs from 17 Magazine and stuck them on.
Oh,
I have... I have a Mrs. Grossman's Goose sticker right in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
I have lots of stuff from 17 Magazine. I Heart Guys, Think Pink.
Just in general.
You know, the Nifty 50s. And then I would draw like Vans checks all over my,
that's your
my notebook. Many of our listeners also remember the Peachy. And Laura Deal remembers that at their junior high, everyone would edit the Peachy covers. So instead of where it says Peachy All Season Portfolio, you would edit that so it says, life is peachy, but sex is an all-season sport.
Like they knew anything at all about
thing,
sex.
Laura, we did the same thing. I remember that perfectly. Or you guys who did Peachies, in the top triangle, there is a tennis. She's a girl, and she's swatting her tennis racket. Would you draw, like, tennis balls all around her, like doodle on her peachy? Yes, we did that. Yellow Daisy remembers that in high school, the mid-80s, she had a binder. You guys, this is going to blow your mind. Mm-hmm. That was denim type material. She loved it because she could write all over it, and so could her friends. Can't you picture it?
Oh, yes. Oh, I had one, that although it wasn't the actual, it was vinyl. It wasn't actual denim. It was vinyl that looked like denim. And then it also had a big belt on it with a big belt buckle. And it was a gift from my grandma, and I thought I was so cool.
This denim binder, you guys, those were the ones that would pinch your fingers, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And can't you picture after maybe by March, the edges were kind of frayed? The denim would kind of split and fray off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you could decorate those too. Like that was what was so fun. Like there was this kind of like your Peachy folders, Michelle. You got to start to maybe create your own identity with what you drew on there, or your friends could draw on there. And you could erase on there too and kind of make like a worn out spot, like, you know, you could on your knees of your jeans. And I vaguely remember, and listeners, you'll have to tell us if you remember this, there was a line of those binders that had the denim that had a pocket, like a pocket on the front.
Oh, my God. Who's going to do
Put your schedule in there. Then you won't have the stress dream where you're the first day of school and you can't find your room.
Yeah. It was like a Levi's pocket or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of decorating and how I had just described a little bit of how I decorated my Peachy, Lisa Fox Mack is remembering covering your textbooks with paper after the first day of school so you could just decorate the covers. Mm-hmm. A lot of our teachers actually required us to just cover them in brown paper bags. I don't know why, because you could. Remember there was a time when you could go buy the shiny book covers and it sort of had the instructions of this is where you fold it and this is where you put
the
sketch
tape. We just had paper bags. That's it.
Mm-hmm. We had the, we didn't have to buy them. At the Dairy Queen in Katy, Texas, there would be a stack of them, and you can go and grab as many as you want.
Yeah.
They had advertisements for like local businesses.
Yes.
They had the high school football schedule was on there.
Yep.
Yes. And then there was like probably a place that you could write like what subject it was. And it had like the dotted lines of where you cut
it. You fold it and
And how you fold it. I think, there was maybe even instructions on the inside.
I want to search and see if I can find a picture of those and put them in because I bet that would Hoosker do a lot
so
of people.
So brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was pre-Blizzard, right? pre-Blizzard.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was just like our, you know, whatever. What do we call those? Like, it wasn't even a soft serve. It was just a cone.
Oh, yeah.
And you could mm-hmm. you know, so get good, a dipped. You get a dipped cone.
Oh, yeah. I'm chocolate dipped or strawberry or the dilly butterscotch. Bar. Yeah. I'm cherry dilly bar 100%.
Oh, I'm chocolate dipped cone. Mm-hmm. Just the OG.
You guys, I had a huge, huge Husker Du moment while I was reading through the comments, okay? Because before you could even go school supply shopping, you had to have your list. And I was trying to rack my brain for a little bit, thinking, where did I get my list? I don't really remember.
We didn't have a list. I think we just bought
stuff.
We
had a specific list. And Laura Larson, our follower, said, we'd have a list of what we needed. I think it was printed in the local paper.
Oh,
yes,
my
Laura.
God.
Yes, yes, yes. The Katy Times. I couldn't wait for that. The Katy Times would come. In Katy, we had several elementary schools. So it would be like Katy Elementary, West Memorial Elementary, or Attucks Elementary. At that point, I think there were just three. But so you'd find yours and then you'd find the grade. And it was like Christmas Day. Oh, that yeah. list. Because then you had it and now it was on. Like, we could go to the store and you guys.
It was time.
Let's just face
well,
it.
And you know how
today's
I remember
the day.
I said yes. when you got to the age where you would look at your list and you would see a protractor and compass. Do you also remember how big and grown up you felt the year you got the list where you needed colored pencils?
Yes, not crayons. Not crayons.
We were going to
yes.
do map work. We maps. Were going to do geography maps.
Social studies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was so exciting. I think that was probably about fourth grade. All of a sudden, yeah. you needed yes. colored pencils, and you just like grew 2 inches. You were like, what?
For a lot of us, we got to take that list, and in my case, went go to Kmart. Okay, that's Kmart, where yeah. we did all of our back-to-school shopping. And it was really the first time that I can remember like getting to choose things and my mom almost always saying yes.
Wow.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. it was because, well, hey, it's on the list, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not me just asking for the binder or the crayons. It's the list. And I think my mom said yes almost all the time, except, as you've pointed out, Kristen, when I wanted to get the 64 crayons
God
or even the 48,
it.
Because
God.
Really 24 was what the list said.
Also, where would it fit? Like, did you guys have the desks that like we had in fifth grade? Again,
you
I'm
lift.
Just going
yeah.
fifth and
no,
up because
who cared about where it would
kindergarten
fit?
Kindergarten through fourth, I was in like seven different schools, so I don't remember. But we
Trust
had the
me.
Desk that lifted up and our books and binders and stuff. Then it's like you have this giant box of crayons. I'm not sure.
Well,
where
somehow Lisa Fry figured
Kirsten
out how to do
Emerson's
it.
Fit.
Yeah, because they could pull them out and stick them right on the top of their desks,
yep.
standing straight
mm-hmm.
up. Because really, the crayons that I ended up getting were ones that didn't quite stand up. And here was a Husker Du moment. Do you remember when they were in that hard plastic case? Not just the cardboard that opened up. My 16
oh,
and 24.
One.
The clear one.
Yes.
That if it cracked a little, it
oh,
was, again,
like
so
cards,
dangerous.
Like playing cards.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
yes. Like mm-hmm. the playing cards one.
Yeah.
But then if you accidentally hit it somewhere and a little piece came off, it, again.
Sharp.
It was
yes.
sharp.
Danger.
It could cut you.
Everybody, danger.
Take Sears back to school and learn the ABCs of saving on all corduroy pants, including tough skins for boys and girls. Save 25% on pants that pass the test for fit, value, and easy care. Plus, save 25% as you multiply your looks this fall, wearing this reversible parka, washable sweater, and pleated pants. And for $20 to $50 savings on electric typewriters that let you correct mistakes with ease, you can count on Sears.
In addition to our school supplies helping us to identify who we were to the rest of the world, I would venture to say that the lunchbox was probably the epitome of the way that we could show mm-hmm. what we loved, what we watched, who we were. I think that it could sometimes be agonizingly difficult to do this, to choose that lunchbox, because now it's we're almost going deeper than just, you know, designs on notebooks and folders. We are going to, like, our TV shows that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
We were the music we listened to, the toys that we played with. This was really, really hard. And you guys, I think this is also when I might have experienced my first case of buyer's remorse.
Oh, no.
You know,
oh.
like sometimes I think I would be trying hard again to make a decision. I'm kind of paralyzed. Then mom might start saying, Carolyn, we got to go. Pick one really fast. And then I would just grab one. And I have a distinct memory of regretting the year I chose the mushroom-themed lunchbox and thermos.
I don't know why. Yeah,
it was all different, like orange and brown, mushroomy, really 70s vibe. But why?
Why would nothing. I choose?
What does that say about
me? Okay, but that's so back in right now. Everything's mushrooms. Right. Go to like Cosplus World Market. Everything that would have been so like now. I'm like, why were you regretting that? So cute, but put myself back in the 70s. I totally get it. Right. You would have been like, this looks like my mom's kitchen.
Yeah, like her cookie jar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What am I doing? I didn't pick a TV show or any of those things. And when it came to choosing our lunch boxes, our followers had a wide array of choices. I'm just going to share a few that some of our followers shared with us. Some of their favorites included Donnie and Marie, the Waltons, Little House on the Prairie, the Bugaloo, Sigmund and the Sea Monster, Cat in the Hat, Hardy Boys, Strawberry Shortcake, the Muppets, Disney, Snoopy, Snow White, Welcome Back, Kotter, Superman, Benji, the Simpsons, Star Trek, Barbie, Brady Bunch, Emergency. There were two actually that got the most mentions, okay? One, the Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah.
People love, and I can't you just see that Partridge Family lunchbox with the school bus on it. And then the one that always hits a special spot for so many of our listeners, the iconic Holly Hobby lunchbox.
Absolutely.
So many of us had that.
Yep.
While those were all pop culture themed lunchboxes, and that's what most of us were going for, I thought this was a fun comment that one of our followers shared. So this would be in the Foxwoods. And she said, my favorite lunchbox was the one I had at the beginning of middle school when I felt like I should have outgrown the boxes with characters on them. I got to order a personalized lunchbox from a catalog. Lillian Vernon, if my memory serves me correctly.
Lillian Vernon?
Do you remember that?
It was my favorite day when that would come in the mail. Oh,
yes, right? Because you could get things personalized. And like in the Foxwoods said, yes. Since I am one of those kids who could never find their name spelled correctly on a mini license plate, anything personalized was a big deal. And she said she used that lunchbox until her name wore off.
I'm just like So Husker Dude by Lillian Vernon. And there were so many items in the catalog. And I think that I got personalized pencils one year for back to school.
Oh, yeah.
And with my name spelled correctly because you ordered it with the name. You didn't have to stand there like she said at the spinner and it was K-R-I-S-T-E-N. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
My favorite, though, was my Donnie and Marie lunchbox. And I had I think almost all of them were vinyl. It was like vinyl square, but it had, it was white, had their pictures on it.
And it's very rare because it was only cardboard and vinyl. Those things did not last. So you can't find them in thrift shops and things like that.
So one of our followers, Della Cruz, 6641, shared a Donnie and Marie vinyl memory. She was really jealous of her across the street neighbor, Kathy, because she had the oval shaped Donnie and Marie one. And she said it zipped all the way around the top and had a carrying strap that made it look like a purse.
It's so grown up.
Those vinyl ones, they had a specific smell, and it's almost like it absorbed, like the food kind of absorbed
in
that
the cardboard.
Yeah, yeah, it was just very, and if you, God forbid, you spilled any milk in those, hoofda. Yeah. I mean, because that would just, it would turn sour in your lunchbox or vinyl thing would never, ever
you can't get it out.
Be the same again.
Mm-hmm. I feel like mine always smelled like old SpaghettiOs because I think I used to get SpaghettiOs like in a thermos.
Oh, yeah.
But just that smell of that tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah. I loved when there was hot stuff in the thermos, like when my mom would put chicken noodle soup.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I would pour it in that little top.
Well, it was just so, it was like magic when you'd open it and you'd be like, it's still hot. That's
right. I had the, my two lunch boxes were the blue Holly Hobby. And then when I got older, the red Peanuts with Snoopy and Charlie Brown. Mm. And I did pick these out and I did like them, but I feel like my mom had a lot of say in it because I really wanted something that was more pop culture. I really wanted the Hardy Boys or Charlie's Angels or something like that. That I thought reflected me a little bit more than Holly Hobby did. But I think my mom was trying to keep me in the cute lane. So I wasn't by any means upset with my choices. But to your point, Carolyn, it wasn't a true, like, it's not all me. There's Linda in there, too. There's a little Linda in there.
Right.
Aaron Fensel says, My metal Care Bears lunchbox saw me well through my entire elementary and junior high school years from 1983 onward. Perfectly serviceable for smacking jerk bully guys upside the head.
And you should have seen the other guy.
And then she says, best not to ask about what happened to the thermos bottle. It's a long story. And then Laura Deal says, right on the heels of this, she's like, remember the old thermoses with glass in them that would break? The boys would set them up like bowling pins and then slide the lunch boxes into them to see how many they could shatter.
I think I remember that.
Jeez! Yes, I know.
I remember those sliding lunch boxes.
Totally. And I was thinking, of course, I keep my things nice. So I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to scratch the paint off your nice lunch box. She said, poor Laura Deal says, I was heartbroken when they broke my thermos and then I had to get some random plaid thermos that didn't match my lunchbox.
Oh, yeah, no. Mom of three boys who says she had a Holly Hobby lunchbox, which dad bought on the clearance rack. So you guys can relate to this. It had a broken clasp, so he replaced it with the one from the Bed Knobs and Broomsticks lunchbox. Oh, no.
I just thought that was so, what a great dad.
It's very sweet.
I don't think my dad would have known how to do that, to be honest. I just think, like, what a little handy dad. He went out, got a screwdriver. And
don't worry, we have the Bed Knobs and Broomsticks one.
What I love most about that is it was only the clasp. So mom of three boys still got the coveted Holly Hobby lunchbox probably for 25 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that.
Yeah, that was such a sweet thing. And then E.K. Burnett, her favorite lunchbox was her Hanna-Barbera Jabberjaws. But she still has it and says it's proudly displayed in her craft room. You guys, I love this so much. She says, in my childhood museum collection.
Oh,
all three of us have turned our offices into childhood museums. That's what I'm going to call it now.
The childhood museum.
Because when people come into my office that don't know like what I do, they might be like, wow, why do you have Fisher-Price toys
are you
on
a toy
your
collector?
Bookshelves with your, oh, and wait, are those old Laura Ingalls Wilder books? And oh, wait, are those Judy Blume books? Mm-hmm. And wait, is that an Ernie and Bert puppet? And all of us have these little relics from our childhood. But now it's not called my office anymore, thanks to E.K. Burnett. This room is my childhood museum. Isn't that better? Doesn't that just elevate it?
Yes, I love it. Yes. It elevates it. It elevates it.
This is my childhood museum.
Right. So listeners, if you've always wanted to do that but have been like, that's silly, you can now be the curator of your own museum.
That's right.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really
You're not a hoarder.
Wait, what?
You're a curator.
I love it. Okay. Well, it's obvious from our conversation that purchasing our school supplies during back-to-school shopping was a highlight.
Hello, listeners. If you've been listening for the past few months, you know that I've been experimenting with a new clothing rental membership from Armoire. After the pandemic, I fell into the routine of pretty much not getting dressed at all, ever. I basically had nighttime pajamas and daytime pajamas, and it was a habit that was so hard to break when it was time to start leaving our houses again. Was I comfortable? Yes. But did I look like me? Not really. That's where I thought Armoire might be helpful for me. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. My membership has helped me build a better wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and look a lot more like me than my pajamas did. Is comfort still a priority? 100%. That's one of the things I'm learning as I experiment with new styles. There are clothes out there that feel like pajamas, but I still look like I got dressed in the morning. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That's armoire.style. armoire.style/PCPS to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle, and I want to talk to you about my post-menopause symptoms. TMI? Not with this audience. Listen, for what seems like 92 years, I've been waking up in the night with a wet pajama top. I know a lot of you know that feeling. I've experienced mood swings, bloating, racing thoughts. Basically, I've felt like I'm living in a body that's not mine. But I'm so happy to report that all of that is changing since I started taking Hormone Harmony. I've noticed a huge improvement in all of those things I just listed. And you guys, I've even weaned off the hormone patches I've worn for the past 6 years. And I'm not the only one who's loving it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And there are over 17,000 reviews where women mention that Hormone Harmony has helped them feel like themselves again. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today. Don't you want to feel like yourself again?
But I'm not sure there is anything that can quite compare to that feeling of the back-to-school clothes shopping experience. Mm-hmm. That will always hold a special place in all of our hearts. From the brands, to the stores, to the styles, we had definite ideas of what back-to-school fashion looked like. Many of us, as we said before, took our cues from the back-to-school issue of Seventeen magazine. So many of our followers mentioned that, along with the fact that fashion trends often included corduroy and wool, sweaters and turtlenecks. But by golly, we'd wear those outfits on the first day of school, even if we lived in Southern California or Texas or Arizona. Weather be damned, we are going to be fashionable and sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our followers, I thought she did a great job with her comment. She pretty much summed up what I would consider a typical Gen X back-to-school fashion timeline. She wrote that she always loved clothes. She went through a preppy period. Everything was monogrammed or eyes-odd. Eighth grade started to be more trendy. Esprit was my favorite brand. I loved to shop at Contempo, County Seat, Wild Pear, Baker's, The Limited, Benetton, Worth's, Jean Nicole, Foxmore, Limited Express, Esprit purses and totes, Liz Claiborne purses, Dooney and Burke, Coach. My first real designer bag was bought with my Kentucky Fried Chicken paycheck. A Gucci. I love that. And Anye, which I also remember, Anye was also popular. It was that ox blood, burgundy purses and boots, etc. I totally remember that. Okay. OP, Hang 10, Jordache, Palmetto, Gasoline Jeans, Guess, Smile Jeans, Sassoon, or Sasson. Sasson. Sassoon was the hair.
The hair,
were they
yeah.
the same people?
No,
I always wondered.
I thought they were the same people, but they're not. I assumed.
Yeah,
it is hair and jeans?
She's like, wow, that is wild. Calvin Klein, Gloria Vanderbilt, Bonjour, et cetera,
wow.
As we could all
crazy.
Go on. But that was a very all-encompassing timeline, and I remember all of those.
And that's from Lynn Kimberlin, we should say. I am just, like, impressed that Lynn remembers all those stores.
No kidding.
I know.
I remember a few, and then I usually Google, like, what were some mall stores in the 80s? Because I don't remember, but wow. I remember we would go to Vancouver Mall, and we would shop at Meyer and Frank. We had Nordstrom, we had Sears, and we had Meyer and Frank. So I think we would probably shop at all three of those. I definitely remember Nordstrom. We got to get our shoes at the Nordstrom Children's Shoe Department, which was upstairs. We got a balloon when you would leave. And I can remember being kind of like, okay, I'll take it. But then you loved it. And I've mentioned this before, but we would always go shopping at the Esprit Factory Outlet Store in San Francisco. Oh, that was like kid in a candy store. It was a warehouse where you really couldn't tell, like things were just in boxes. And I would just be plucking all those sweatshirts out and bags and shoes and headbands. And it was great.
So lucky. Yeah.
A lot of people mentioned Esprit, specifically the tote bag. I didn't remember that as much, but that was evidently the way to carry your stuff around was that Esprit tote bag.
You got to have a brand of some kind on there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know what I remember my dad saying, like with that, and especially with the designer jeans, he would say, that's just free marketing for them. You're not going to walk around with their name on your bottom. Like, they should pay you. He did not like things that had the brand name just splattered.
I got that same speech. The advertising on your bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember when certain colors or looks became trendy, and that's what I would look for. Like in the late 70s, peach. Everything was peach, and you had peach on your hair ribbons and peach on your t-shirt and peach.
Yes.
Everything was peach. And then the gunny sacks look was big for back to school, and we all came to school looking like we lived in Walnut Grove. But just on the top half, not on the bottom half. On the bottom half, you'd be like wearing your cords, and the top half would be gunny sacks. So we mostly did a one-day trip, and it was very special because my mom would take my brother and me separately. I got my own trip to Rosedale. My brother got his own trip to Rosedale, and I remember the budget was $100. And I was just like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. And we mostly just went to two stores, which is obviously Sears and Stride Rite shoes. We always got two pairs of shoes. You got one pair of school shoes, my favorites for my Wallabies in third grade, and you got one pair of shoes for gym, right?
Oh. Yep.
Or tennis shoes. And you at Stride Rite, you would stand on top of this pretend castle they had in the middle of the store, and that's where they measured your feet. So on the first day of second grade, which is my first day, I'm new to Minnesota. I'm the new kid. I'm the kid from California. So I already felt like I didn't know the language. And Miss Swartz wrote on the board the school supplies that we would need. And one of the things she said we would need was tennis shoes. So I ran home and I'm like, Mom, I need tennis shoes. And she's like, well, we got you some. No, we don't. We need tennis shoes. And she's trying to explain to me. And finally, I figured out that tennis shoes. I thought I was wearing tennis shoes.
You thought you were going to play tennis in
these were for tennis class. Yes, yeah. I needed tennis shoes. My mom was explaining tennis shoes. Aww. But I was in such a panic because I was so scared that my mom had already bought me tennis shoes and those weren't going to work.
No.
Because I had to have tennis shoes.
Not for the court.
No, right?
Were penny loafers a big deal for you guys? Because penny loafers were huge for us in like 8th and 9th grade. And it was like the Bass Weegians, and they hurt like...
Yeah, that's why I didn't get them.
The real Bass ones, they were stiff. They hurt so badly, but I had to have them.
Well, TXCA1068, that's a long name. She gets it. She says, I wanted Guess jeans so bad, but I had to settle for the knockoff Palmettos from Mervyn's. The humiliation was real. See, like there's a whole, we're all out there. You had to go to Mervyn's. I had to go to Sears.
The Palmettos, wait, was the triangle like turned the other way?
I remember. It didn't have like a little palmetto tree. It's like a little palm tree.
Yes, on the
pocket, there is a little palm tree.
I responded to her because I said, we need a support group.
Yeah, we
do. Guys, we really
do.
For all of the pennies, plain pocket, fox logo, polo shirt wearing folks.
Yes.
Like, I really, it's so good to know I'm not alone in my...
And we pined.
Yes. And I think mine started, as I've shared with you guys before, I had to wear orthopedic shoes when I was young with these huge, like, arch supports in them. And they only came in three styles, like the saddle shoes I've said. Clown shoes, which were like saddle shoes, but they were multi kind of colored. And then the pilgrim shoes, big buckle on the side. So I would, and we would go to Stride, right? That's where they had those. But I would look at this table of all the new school shoes. You guys have no idea. The same three boxes
pilgrim,
every year.
Clown. Yeah.
He comes
and saddle.
Back with like, well, we also have these new nurse shoes that just came in.
And so from a very early age, I realized that I was different. I just wanted to be like everybody else so bad. You guys, I think that's when my being different really left its mark.
Aww.
And I tried to be like everybody else from then on.
You had to, you needed the stuff.
It all goes back to the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It does. I really think that's when it started.
That impacted you.
Yeah.
So clearly fashion was such a big part of our back to school experience. And we really wanted to chat with someone in this episode who would have been eyes wide open about what we were wearing back then. And we found the perfect person.
Joining us now is a woman we Gen Xers may have first met at Target in the maternity department. And she revolutionized how we, as a generation, dressed ourselves when we were pregnant. We would be the first generation to ditch the tent dresses and show off our baby bumps in form-fitting clothes. And that is thanks to designer Liz Lang. We recently got reacquainted with Liz Lang via a new podcast called The Just Enough Family, which has exactly nothing to do with fashion and everything to do with the absolutely fascinating and, I swear to God, cinematic story of growing up in Liz's very wealthy New York City family. And seriously, I'm just waiting for it to be turned into a TV show.
I
don't know if that's going to happen, but I really want that to happen. So that podcast put Liz on our radar again. So when it was time to talk about back-to-school shopping, we thought... Let's call the Gen X fashion designer who saved us from tent dresses. Liz Lang, first of all, thank you. And welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
Well, thank you so much. Such a nice intro and very happy to be here.
So you are one of us, Liz Lang. You're totally one of us. And we're wondering, when you were growing up, when you were a kid, when you were a tween, when you were a teen, who were your fashion influencers? What influenced what you thought you should wear or what you wanted to wear or what you wanted to buy? Who did you want to be? Who were you emulating? Like, was there somebody out there that you really wanted to look like?
Well, you know, there were so many, because, you know, these, as kids, weren't you like, when I start writing my Instagram, I'm always like, I worship this one, I worship that one,
yeah,
I worship
right.
It was like crazy. But I'd say, like, I was reading Seventeen magazine, and there were some pairs of sisters that were modeling sisters. Nothing was cooler than that. Like, I mean, I would have killed for it. So Phoebe Cates and her sister were modeling sisters, and everything they wore in 17, I wanted to wear too. Yep. And then there were these two other sisters. I think their last name was Fitzpatrick. I looked nothing like them. It was Kate and Kelly. They were 17 magazine stars. And I really wanted to dress and look like them too. It all depends on what year we're talking about, because, you know, the worshiping would just morph. Like, of course, like you guys, I looked up to people like, you know, Marsha Brady and Susan Day and all of them. But I can't remember if I wanted to dress like them, because they were dressing in a very retro way for those shows. Mm-hmm. Then there were Brat Packers like Demi Moore. Then there were girls that weren't that much older than me, but I just thought they were so beautiful. I mean, I was truly shallow. I was just obsessed with beauty. So, you know, Brooke Shields. If I saw a picture of Brooke Shields in anything, I just wanted to be Brooke Shields really, really badly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think 17 magazine is we had fewer sources, which means that they were the ones that we had were more important. So the weight of 17 can't be emphasized enough.
No.
We use that like a Bible.
Right. And we did an entire episode that we devoted to 17 magazine and the comments and things we got from people between the back to school issue, which was like our back to school Bible.
17 was so important to all of us and our generation that it wasn't just the clothes and the ads. It was the models. These were people that they were like celebrities to us. Like, I would look through that magazine to find those recognizable. Oh, there she is again, you know. So I think that's really relatable to our generation, is that the models were pseudo celebrities for us and people who were influencing us for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even like, they're not famous, but just the high schoolers at your school, right? Like, there were just girls who they loomed so large. I think if I saw them even today, they might have only been 2 years older than me. I would be like, you know, tongue-tied.
Yeah, right.
They were so cool and so beautiful. And whatever they wore to school, I was desperately also trying to get my little paws on.
They were like the Marsha Brady of the school, right? Like the people who are just a little bit older than you and seem to have it all figured out. And then you show up for school that first week and you're kind of examining, what are we wearing? What are we wearing this year? Was your outfit highly curated? I feel like we curated our outfits so much more than they do today. That's not as big a concern. Not that they don't care about their clothes. They do. But we curated. Everything was chosen so carefully.
And because fashion's so different. Like, I'm thinking of a particular first day of school outfit. And it wasn't just the striped boat neck top with the pants. It was the little gold stretchy belt. And then it was the color of beads that I wore around my neck, you know, and the earrings that had to match. And then what shoe, I mean, it was, we accessorized, I think, way more than
oh my God, they don't,
generations
have, I
do
mean,
know.
No, they have nails, but they don't have, they don't even wear
earrings.
We
didn't have nails. I didn't
have
them.
No.
I don't even think I would have been allowed to think about my nails, but like, oh yeah. I mean, the first day outfit, I know some of them. Don't you like,
describe, do you have any that comes to mind?
Okay. Like you. So like first day, ninth grade, because I was going to a new school and it was co-ed. I had gone to an all girls school. So the level of excitement over that, it can't even be stated. It really can't be. So that year I was wearing, it was 1980. So I was wearing something called baggies. It was a style of pants.
Yes.
That were very ballooned out. And then they got very, very narrow
at the bottom.
Do you remember the brand? Do you remember the brand they were? Were they R.D. Simpsons?
I don't think they were Artie Simpsons, okay. But I cannot remember what the brand was. But they were purple. I had them in purple. I had them in turquoise. These were purple baggies because these were the colors that were very important. Turquoise, purple, extremely important. And then there was a matching, maybe it was a different shade of purple, Ralph Lauren polo short sleeve shirt, color up.
Yes.
Tucked in to these baggies, and I know I had some sort of belt, because you mentioned belt, but that I can't remember. But on my feet, do you remember these? Because there were some regional differences. They were Minnetonka white.
The moccasins.
The moccasins.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Did you have the little colored beads on them?
Yeah, they had colored beads. In my God. Yeah, I mean, this was like an this outfit was, I really felt I had nailed it. And then in my hair that I had used a, what is it called? That thing that you would attach to your blow dryer to make your hair extra big.
Oh, like a diffuser. It was like a diffuser.
Yeah. Of course, my hair was all diffused and I had done what I'm doing right now so that my hair was big and curly, the opposite of the way I would want it right now. And then I know this is going to sound crazy, but it was very popular in New York City. I had taken some kind of, headband that had a big bow, was also purple. The bow was on the side. And that was in my hair, which sounds
big hair.
But just in it. Liz, probably not holding your bangs back for a headband.
No, you just place it like a crown.
Like a tiara.
I had nailed it. Like, I was considered well-dressed. Like, this was a very good outfit. I fluctuated, I don't know about you guys, between that baggy trend, it must have been fluctuating in New York City, and literally painted on, like lying down on the dressing room on my bed to zip it up, pants. They were two opposite trends that were both popular in the early 80s.
Yes. Yeah.
So it kind of went back and forth, but I was wearing that. Anyway, that was my first day out.
Can you remember any must-have items? Let's do like middle school. When you were in middle school, what were the must-have clothing items that you had to have?
Again, this is New York City, so it was preppy. Fair Isles. We used to wear something called painter's pants. You bought them at the
Army. Oh, yeah.
Put your comb in the pocket.
Yeah. And those also in bright colors.
Yeah.
We wore, also, they were bought at the Army Navy store. They were Fruit of the Loom, and they kind of look like sweatshirts, but inside out. And they also came in turquoise and yellow and purple. These were very popular in New York City in the late 70s. I went to an all-girls school with a very strict uniform through eighth grade. And we too, it was all about what you could do with that uniform too.
Right.
So we were preppy. We wore Fair Isles. We wore Docksiders and Topsiders and jazz shoes.
Jazz shoes.
Oh, totally Capizios, right? Yes. You had to have your Capizios.
You know what else we wore a lot of it must-haves in those years? Very long tiered skirts from the store called Putumayo or from Laura Ashley.
Putumayo.
Oh, of course.
Yes. I forgot about Laura Ashley. Okay.
These were huge in New York. We would take our socks and we would push them down. So they were scrunchy underneath the skirt. Yeah.
Yes. And did you ever double layer your socks? Like you would wear two different colors and scrunch down.
Right. With totally.
Even, and then if you could shove that, all those socks and your foot in your Capizios, forget it.
Exactly.
Right? You might not be able to lace your Capizios, but you were looking.
You look damn good.
But we even wore wallabies, things that were just preppy.
Oh, yeah. Wallabies are preppy? I didn't even know that. I love my wallabies.
Yeah, they were then. Yeah.
They were then. Duck shoes from L.L. Bean, L.L. Bean sweaters.
Yeah.
They were all like, it was all in the mix-up somehow of what we wore in my middle school years. But my middle school years, unlike some of you, were the mid to late 70s.
Well, I guess, Liz, I'd be interested to know, based on listening to your podcast, your back-to-school shopping experience might have been a little different than ours in the suburbs of big cities. But at the same time, there were maybe some must-have items and maybe some places that you wanted to go, fashion-wise or just school supply-wise. Like, were there some things that...
Was there a shopping trip?
Yeah, that day?
If there was a day that my mother had kind of put aside that she was taking my sister and I both for back to school clothes that were, just to be clear, unlike the way kids shop today, those were clothes that even if we bought them in August were meant to be put away.
Yes. And not, we would, it was torture. Yeah. It was torture.
That you didn't touch them. Right. Until it was actually fall and it was wear them. So, and it was, so there was a back to school shopping for clothes and also for supplies. And supplies were, again, for this generation, must sound strange. And I know you ladies can relate. Oddly exciting. Like nothing was more exciting than my brand new notebooks, different colors. We had this thing in New York City. I might have been a little earlier than high school, but we used to buy like craft paper and wrapping paper, and we would wrap them them.
Yes.
Like your books. Yeah. Yes.
Like your books. Right.
Yeah.
We wrapped them and that was exciting. And just the new supplies. I'm having trouble remembering like where specifically we did the shopping. Even though we lived in New York City, we had a weekend house, just enough family reference.
Yep.
We had a weekend house in Westchester. And I think in the summer, we were often still there when we had to do the back to school shopping. So we were not shopping necessarily for my back to school things in New York City. And then if I went way, way back, like way, way back earlier than that, and that's not exactly what we're talking about, but we all have the same references. The really exciting thing would have been the new lunchbox with the matching thermos, but that was earlier. I mean, I was not doing that in high school, but exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's so funny though, because I'm loving hearing you say so many of the same brands and things that we all have. For us, we would always go to San Francisco in the summer because my stepfather had a like a convention there. So for like 4 years in a row, we got to go to the Esprit outlet store. We would come home with bags that were so giant because it was all so cheap. It was like a warehouse, you guys, but it was every different color of Esprit t-shirt, sweatshirt, sweater, shoes. Some of my favorite shoes were pink Esprit penny loafers that I loved so much. And then of course all the Izod shirts and everything.
Oh.
But I'm loving after listening to the Just Enough family, and I was kind of joking like, you know, but Liz probably didn't wear Esprit or Gloria Vanderbilt jeans. You probably shopped at like the Gucci store.
Here's the thing about our generation. I don't think it was specific to my family. I think it's our generation. Uh-huh. And I think this is probably part of it is it wasn't like the way kids are today, or I don't know what your kids are like. We're like, somehow they have just access to everything and they're just like little grown-ups just buying the good brands and stuff.
Yes.
Things were very bifurcated. It really made no difference that my parents had a lot of money. They did, obviously, a ton. Mm-hmm. But like, it didn't matter. I was still a kid and kids got kids things. Like it wasn't about, like the big splurge was that sometimes I did have the Polo Ralph Lauren and the Izod shirts, but those were considered by my parents to be expensive and a special treat for me. Those were not, you know, like I did have them, whereas I'm sure there were some kids who did not. I had those.
We had the pretend time
that they had like a little fox.
Or the plain pockets from JCPenney and not the Levi's.
Right. But I mean, I wore Wranglers and I wore Levi's, and our big sweater store wasn't Esprit, it was Benetton. Benetton was just the holy grail of colorful sweaters and everything.
And layering the all the different colors of Benetton, you know, the United Colors of Benetton. So you'd layer the pop collars, but then sometimes you'd even layer like two crew necks.
Oh, sure.
How did we do that? Like now I'm thinking, I'm sweating we're talking about that.
Did you guys, we would take the V-necks and we'd wear them backwards.
I never understood that.
I forgot that. And I did it with a cardigan every once in a while too, where the buttons were up the back.
Totally, that was the height of chic.
This will not surprise Carolyn Michelle. I refuse to do it. I was like, this makes no sense. I don't know why we're turning our sweaters on backwards. I don't get it, and I'm not doing it.
Wow. It was fashionable, Kristen. Yes,
I know.
Yeah, I was into it.
So fun.
Yourself. This is another unifying part of our culture. No matter what strata you came from, all of these brands were the things that all of us wanted. Some of us had to have the parrot instead of the alligator. Right. But for the most part, we were all aiming for the same exact thing.
It was the same look.
It was the same look.
My true, like, eureka moment was in eighth grade when I got to trail my the coolest girl, it turns out, in high school, but I didn't know that. My parents knew her parents, and because I was going to this new school, they asked this girl, her name was also Liz, to show me around. And I met her at the bus stop, And my jaw was on the floor. As I said, I came in my preppy outfit. I thought it was cool. And she was in a whole other level of thing. Black silky pants, red cowboy boots, a high school 12th grade boyfriend.
Oh, she
was beautiful.
Oh, wow. She was like,
I was just like, I am a loser in my preppy outfit. And everything started to change for me. Like, get me some Fiorucci. Get me these, you know, everything started to change.
Wow. I wonder, do you think, because obviously you became known for your fashion design and things like that, but do you feel like that was maybe the start of you noticing? It didn't sound like you had set out to become a fashion designer.
I didn't set out to become a fashion designer. Like, the college I'm talking about is Brown University, where I was a comparative literature major. Like, I wasn't thinking.
Okay.
But, like, I grew up in New York City. My mom was a shopper, as I mentioned. Totally. Like, a clothes horse, loved clothes. I loved clothes, and I was one of those girls in high school, even though you wouldn't have known that I also, like everyone else, was super insecure and looked up to other people and wanted to dress like them. But I was probably somebody, if I'm being honest, that was considered like that I knew what to wear. You know, I cared about clothes and I kind of got it early. And so I was one of those people. And after college, I went to work at Vogue magazine. But it's like what we were saying about 17. That was like a plum job that had, for me, a little bit less to do with fashion. I thought I was going to be writing, and I was writing for Vogue. I liked fashion a lot, so they kind of coincided, but I thought I was going to be a writer. And then I got this idea for Maternity Clothing that was sort of just based on taste and what I saw people wearing. And it started, you guys mentioned Target, and it's so many years ago. It actually started as a very high-end line, and I had three very expensive boutiques ultimately, and that's what attracted Target, and they asked me if I would do a less expensive line for their stores. And that I rolled that out in 2001. I mean, again, I was that friend. Like, I told, I was sort of helping people with what to wear. I was that person, but just like all of you, you know, throughout high school and middle school and lower school, I assume I was just plagued with wanting to fit in and wanting to wear the right thing and never feeling quite right. Even though, you know,
isn't that universal? I mean, it's abs here. It's, let's just put this in perspective. Here's Liz Lang, fashion designer Liz Lang, telling us that she felt insecure about what she was wearing, right? And wanted so badly to fit in and wear the right thing and choosing things so carefully. It's universal.
But and it's proof that money doesn't buy that.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So should we go ahead to our fun game that she doesn't know we're going to play with her yet, but we play with all of our special guests.
Yeah, no matter who we have on, it's again just showing this place where we have an intersection of things. Like, we all existed at this same moment in time, and we all have things that we have in common. And so we like to ask these questions of all of our people. Who was your very first crush? Who did you fall in love with, like your celebrity crush?
Oh, who was first? Maybe Greg. It was either Greg Brady or David Cassidy.
It was either.
I used to watch Partridge Family and Brady Bunch back to back. Probably it was David Cassidy who played.
Yes.
I mean, I was so in love with him that. So I think him.
Yeah, that's a good choice. And millions of other women, girls.
I'm on Greg Brady too for some reason, though. I don't know why now, looking back, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Liz, what was your first concert?
Billy Joel.
Good New Yorker.
That's a great one.
Grade, my dad took me and he took like my best friend.
How amazing you could still go now. Like,
no, it's weird. He's still playing Madison Square Garden. I swear to God, it was at Madison Square Garden.
Okay. Well, speaking of music, do you remember your first album?
Yes. My cousin Laura, who's on the, there were two, and I know that's a cheat. So
no,
I remember having for like, I didn't have an actual record player, or I guess it was like a suitcase that you could open and there was
a portable.
I think it was white. I thought it was incredible. So I had a Donny Osmond record there, but I know I had that. And then a little later when I was in third grade, my cousin Laura, who was 4 years older, I worshipped her. She came over one day and she brought me the Elton John record. And God, I can visualize it, but I can't think of what it was called. It had Crocodile Rock on it. But the fact that she brought me that out, bought me that album, I just couldn't believe it.
Liz, did you go roller skating like at a rink?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So did you have a favorite roller skating song?
The one that I remember skating to and just thinking I was the coolest person on earth was the song Pop Music. Do you remember that?
New York, London,
Paris, Munich, everybody talk about pop music. Talk about pop music. Talk about pop music.
Okay. My question is, whose posters were on your wall? Were you allowed to have posters
on my wall.
Oh, okay. No posters.
No posters, but I had, and I cut out, and maybe I put in a sticker book or other things. Okay. Tiger Beat. What is that? Mad Magazine that had nothing to do. Mad Magazine was very important to me. Comic books, like especially with Betty and Veronica, were very important to me. 17 Magazine. And then, but you mean like, who did I worship? So it was girls and boys. So, for sure. Of course, I loved some of the top models back then, like even forgetting the younger ones. Then I started to notice like people like Cheryl Teagues.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And of course, Farrah Fawcett. I also love Lindsay Wagner. She wasn't a model.
Oh, so did I.
I mean.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just love Jamie Summers. I wanted to be the bionic woman.
So and the fact that there was crossover and that she was with the $6 million man.
Yeah, but then she had amnesia and she couldn't remember that she loved him.
I mean, that broke my little girl heart. Oh, like, that was just too much for me that she couldn't remember. So I definitely, I would have had their posters, and then I would have had people like, definitely David Cassidy. I love the Bay City Rollers. I loved them. They had a TV show that I also used to watch probably back then.
Okay. I have one more question for you. What lunchbox did you have?
Well, that I was really young, but, so I must have had like, I think my favorites were Betty and Veronica.
Aww.
I really looked up to them. I think even though I was a girl, I think I went through this slightly tomboyish phase where I also liked Spider-Man a lot. Like I love Spider-Man, but I also loved Wonder Woman. And I love Scooby-Doo. I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe this was like a rich girl thing, but I'd get a new one every year.
I think we were back to shopping.
Yeah, that's why it was so special.
And maybe I got a new one for day camp too.
So Liz, we've talked a little bit about the podcast, but what else keeps you busy these days?
Well, I'm really busy right now. I did the podcast actually during COVID, but also during COVID, I've always been in the fashion business, my entire career. I knew I wanted to continue to be in it. So I was thinking about starting a brand, which is typically what I do, or possibly buying a brand. And during COVID, a brand became for sale that I was a huge fan of, like had no business connection to, but just wore a lot. This brand called Fig. It's a women's fashion brand. It's spelled with a French spelling. So it's Figue, but it's actually pronounced Fig. Anyway, it became for sale. I ended up acquiring it and relaunching it. And that's what I do now. It's been 3 years and I've got offices and a small team in New York City. And I love it. So I'm, really busy with that. I love Instagram. Like you ladies, I've kind of found a lane in Instagram that really is fun for me. And so I write my own. I know you guys do too. People always are like, who writes your Instagram? I'm like, who writes my Instagram? It's in my head. Yeah. I write these Instagrams daily and I get a lot of comments as you do too. And I like to answer all of them personally. So that's also, semi-time consuming. And then, just life in general. I've got a 23-year-old and a 25-year-old. And so between Instagram, my brand Fig, and my life, I feel like I'm fairly busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we haven't mentioned where you are speaking to us from. You kind of did something cool as well with the home that you're living in. Do you want to share where you live? And
so, really we live in New York City, but like so many people during COVID, again, COVID keeps coming up, my life shifted a bit and it shifted forever just by choice. So we had this weekend house that we had just bought like a year or so prior to COVID hitting. It's actually Grey Gardens, which for people of our generation and older, that actually means something because it was this documentary that was wildly popular. So we bought the house Grey Gardens that had been owned by Big Edie and Little Edie, who were the first cousin and aunt of Jackie Kennedy and her sister, Lee Radziwill. And we spent a long time kind of, you know, redoing it and renovating it and the whole thing. So that took like 3 years. And I'm here now. I kind of live here over the summer. We still have our apartment in New York City, but I am talking to you from Grey Gardens, our summer house.
It's iconic.
It is iconic. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful what you've done with it. So listeners, do not worry. We will have links to everything.
This was so fun, Liz. I love knowing you. I love having met you and having chatted with you, and love knowing that we're all just the same.
We really are. Yes. I love spending time with you today. Thank you so much.
This was so much fun for me. Thank you, ladies.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You're welcome. Thank you. We're going to continue our friendship, I hope.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh, you guys, how fun was that conversation?
I love her.
It's just like, so it's another friend. We found another friend. Mm-hmm. And Liz, we felt like we knew you for a long time. It was so fun.
Like we just had a play date with her.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that funny when you're trying on those maternity clothes at Target? You had no idea that someday you'd be having a play date with the woman who created that.
I know. It was just wild. And as you guys, our listeners, can imagine, it wasn't just a short, quick convo. It went long, and you only heard a bit of it in today's episode. However, if you are one of our patrons, you will get to see the video conversation, the entire thing, and we digressed a lot. So if you are not already a patron, you know what to do. You know to go on to our link in bio or to go to patreon.com and put Pop Culture Preservation Society in the search bubble. You guys, I wanted to say that one of my biggest takeaways from our conversation with Liz was that, you know, when it comes to Generation X, we share so many of the same experiences, whether we grew up wealthy in New York City or in a small town in Washington State, a suburb of Houston, or a city like St. Paul, the same excitement when it came to go back to school shopping, we all felt it.
Yeah.
You guys, we are so much more alike than we are different. And I just love when we have those moments when we realize that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. This was a meeting of the minds, even though we came from vastly different situations growing up, the four of us.
Sure.
So interesting. This has been a really fun conversation. I think it's the first time we've really gone deep on school supplies, which was a thing that was really big for our generation. It's so different than it is now. And if you are like me, you still crave a little back to school shopping when the weather starts to turn cool. Your heart skips a beat when you push your cart past the school supplies quadrant at Target. It's like a whole quarter of the store, basically, right? You still crave a new box of crayons, and you need some new notebooks. And I swear to God, maybe you need a new outfit featuring some corduroy of some kind.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's exciting for us in a way that it isn't necessarily as exciting for our kids. Again, like we said before, maybe because it got too big and overwhelming, or maybe it got too prescribed. I'm not sure. But here at the PCPS, we are all about recapturing the joy we had when we were kids. And so here's me giving you permission. Go get yourself some school supplies. Mm-hmm. Do you want crayons? Get the fucking 64-pack. You deserve it. And I think you need a new outfit. Why not?
Yes.
You deserve this. Consider it a form of therapy, a way to connect to the most authentic version of yourself. Thank you for listening today. Thanks for showing up for our first day of season 13. And we will see you next week.
It is. It's back to school day for us here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Kristen, thank you for that permission. I am going to go to Target today. And I'm, even though I've already gotten some, I'm going to get some glue. And tonight I'm going to put it on my hand. I'm going to see if I can peel it off in one piece. But I am also going to get some crayons.
Yeah.
Look, I haven't had new crayons in a long time. I'm going to get some new crayons.
I have a 64-pack in my hands. Here, there's the sharpener.
Have you had to sharpen any yet?
No, look, they're fresh and pointy.
Do you know what else I'm going to get? Do they still make coloring books?
Yes, they
like
do.
Like actual, but like with that, not the like new, that like for adults.
Kind of
no,
pulpy paper.
Pulpy.
That's
I'm going to go
question.
Look. Anyway, today's episode was brought to you by some of our just wonderful, wonderful supporters on Patreon. And today we're giving a shout out to Mike, Sandy, Alice, Alisa. Alisa, who we met at the Donny Osmond concert.
Oh, hi, Alisa.
She's a new 1976 patron. I know. We love you, Alisa. We love all of you. Miriam, C. Sarsonis, because some people just have their email in, but I don't want to neglect you, C. Sarsonis. So maybe your name is Cecilia, or maybe your name is Candy, or maybe it's Carl. We don't know. Yeah. Diane, Colette, Kelly, Sharon, another. Here's Cake the Cat. Cake the Cat. And Susan.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
And the first day of school.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu, nanu, keep on truckin', and may the Force be with you.